Good afternoon. I call the Senate Labor and Commerce Committee to order. Today is Thursday, February 7th, 2019. The time is 1:32 p.m. With me present today are Senator Costello, Vice Chair, Senator Bishop to my left, Senator Birch to my left, and Senator Gray Jackson to the far right. And as we state every time, please turn off your cell phones, even if they're on vibrate, they can't interfere with the recording system. So I want to ask you to please do that. And I also want to say thank you to my staff, Natasha McClanahan, who does a lot of the preparation for this meeting and communicates with all of you. It's quite a considerable amount of work, and I really wanted to tell her thank you. I also wanted to say thank you to Nancy Hemingway, who's tremendous. And also, I believe it's Eric at the LIO. Is that correct? Okay, thank you, Eric. Okay, so today our committee business that we are going to be reviewing today is the Board of Nursing, Senate Bill 36, Senate Bill 29, the Board of Marine Pilots, and also Senate Bill 25, extending the dentist. So we do have the state auditor with us, Chris Curtis. So thank you, Chris, for being here today. I know you have some things that you'd like to get on the record. And we also are planning on public testimony for all three pieces of this legislation. And if it is the will of the body, I hope to move all three of these bills out of committee today. So just wanted to let you all know that, unless there's any objection for that. So first of all, I'm going to go and ask my vice chair.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 36, version 31-LS0314/alpha before the committee for the purpose of discussion.
Thank you.
And I'll object for the purposes of discussion.
President Giza, would you please come forth?
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, I'm State Senator Kathy Giesel, representing Senate District N. That's part of South Anchorage. To begin, Madam Chair, first of all, thank you so much for hearing this bill. The Labor and Commerce Committee is the workhorse of the Senate, so thank you. I know you've got a lot on your agenda. I want to declare the fact that I have no conflict in carrying this bill. While I am holding two licenses that are regulated by this board, I have no benefit or harm from carrying this bill. The board's charge is actually to protect the public, not to protect my licenses in any way, but to protect the public through safe practice of nursing. I wanted to point out a few things, and you're going to hear from the auditor about the audit that she did, and you'll also hear from the licensing, the division that oversees the board, as well as the board executive administrator. But Madam Chair, I believe you have the audit in your packet, and so I would ask members, as you consider this board and its sunset, if you would start by looking in that audit on page 7, because there's some things I want to highlight about this board. Madam Chair, I served two terms on this board. I chaired this board for 5 years. And so I am very familiar with it. On page 7 is the licensing activity for the Board of Nursing from FY15 to 18. And the total number of licenses at the end of January 2018, you see that listed there, it's nearly 20,000 licensees. Madam Chairman, when I was the chair of this board, I don't know what the percentage is right now, but I suspect it's still probably about 25% of the total licensees regulated by the state of Alaska. The Board of Nursing has a huge cadre of licenses to regulate. The other thing to notice on this Exhibit 2 on page 7 are the six licenses listed over on the left-hand side. So let me just highlight what those are. The Certified Nurse Aide. This is an individual with a high school diploma that goes through a training program, several months long. It's not a degreed program, but it is a good training program. And at the end of the day, they take an examination, which gives them a certificate. It's the same as a license. But their entry level is a high school diploma. They exit with a certification. As you go down that list, you see advanced nurse practitioner, licensed practical nurse, registered nurse. Each of these have different entry requirements of licensure all the way up to a doctoral degree. My point is, the Board of Nursing also regulates the most diverse population of licensees, all the way from the high school diploma prepared individual all the way up to the doctoral degree. So it is a huge task. So, Madam Chair, the audit report that you will hear from Ms. Curtis, the legislative auditor, does highlight some gaps that the board needs to be working on. One of them is monitoring the certified nurse aide programs. Ms. Curtis will highlight that. I'm going to let her do that. But one of the things that she will also highlight is the distance delivery of nursing services through technology. In other words, telemedicine. Telehealth is what we call it in the nursing world. I wanted to let you know, Madam Chair, that the board, during the years that I chaired it, actually felt that that authority had been given to the advanced practice nurses. In fact, advanced nurse practitioners have been doing telehealth since the late 1990s, approximately 1998. One of the advanced practice nurses in Girdwood was cutting edge. She was doing a model test program in Girdwood using telemedicine. Some of you may realize that there's often avalanches during the winter that separate Girdwood from the rest of the municipality of Anchorage. And so if a skier has a fracture or some other serious injury, that clinic in Girdwood had x-ray services. And so the nurse practitioner could take the x-ray and transmit it electronically to an orthopedist in Anchorage, who then would opine about the severity of the injury and suggest treatment. So it actually has been going on since about 1998. Before the nurse practitioner who owned the clinic actually moved away, she began a clinic in Hope. For those of you that may not know, Hope is across Turnagain Arm. It's actually part of the Kenai Peninsula borough, but it's directly across from Girdwood. They have no health care services there. It's a very small community. So the nurse practitioner in Girdwood actually set up a clinic in Hope that communicates telephonically and through imaging through computer to provide services to folks in Hope. So this has been going on for a long time. The board up until now actually believed that they had the authority to authorize that kind of practice. It is a gap that the auditor has found, and I believe it would be important for you to ask the executive administrator of the Board of Nursing, who I believe is online today, ask her that question, how the board is progressing on that particular topic. So with that, Madam Chair, I'm happy to take questions. Otherwise, I think you'll hear a lot more content from the other two people that are here to talk.
Okay, I just wanted to let you know that Gail Berth is online, and also Joe LaFleur. Am I saying that right?
I'm not sure about Joe, but Gail is the executive administrator.
Excellent. So at this time, I'm going to see if any committee members have any comments or questions for the sponsor of the bill. Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Thank you, Senator Giesel. What's the difference between a paramedic and a nurse? A level of training, qualifications, and immediate response, if you will.
Very interesting question. So a registered nurse can either be a diploma graduate, that's a two-year degree, or a bachelor's degree. And they are educated to take care of the entire person, right? So they also can practice in a hospital, in a clinic, orthopedics all the way to obstetrics. Mm-hmm. A paramedic has very extensive and intensive training. They are regulated by the state medical board, and they have focused education on emergency, addressing emergency situations. So it's a difference between urgent, very urgent care versus long-term, more global care. Public health is an aspect of a registered nurse's realm as well.
Great. Thank you. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Looks like there are no more questions at this time.
Thank you, Madam Chair.
So next I will call up Chris Curtis. And Chris is with the director of the Division of Legislative Audit. I also would like to point out, maybe you're going to do this, Courtney Johnson, I believe, is in the room as well. Is that correct? Okay. Thank you. And obviously, you know the drill.
Good afternoon. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis. I'm your state legislative auditor. The Division of Legislative Audit did conduct a sunset audit, and just for background, a sunset audit, the purpose is to determine whether a entity, a board or commission, is serving the public's interest and whether its termination date should be extended. So in this case, we did determine that the Board of Nursing is serving the public's interest by conducting meetings in accordance with state law, by amending certain regulations to improve the CNA and nursing occupations, and by effectively licensing CNAs and nurses. The audit also determined that the board failed to serve the public's interest by not establishing telehealth regulations, by not adequately monitoring the CNA training programs, and by not notifying appropriate entities when a licensee's prescription authority was suspended, revoked, or surrendered. We also identified improvements were needed with the Division of Corporation Business and Professional Licensing, DCBPL's investigative process. We recommend the legislature extend this board 6 years. Senator Giesel also already went through the licensing statistics, but on page 11 of the audit, you'll find the schedule of revenues and expenditures. This board had a deficit of approximately $337,000 at the end of March 2018. According to DCBPL management, a fee analysis was planned for May of 2018, and if you're interested in the fees for this board, you will find them on page 12. The audit does include four recommendations for improvements. They begin on page 14 of your report. First, we recommend the board adopt regulations to address the distance delivery of nursing services through technology, also referred to as telehealth. In FY15, a licensee approached the board and they requested guidance in providing telehealth services. This prompted the board to issue an advisory opinion. The advisory opinion defined telehealth and did provide some limited guidance on scope of practice. However, the guidance was insufficient to promote, preserve, and protect the health, safety, and welfare of the public. Although the board discussed the need for telehealth regulations, it could not agree on the specific regulatory language. Providing insufficient guidance to licensees increases the risk that nurses may not maintain acceptable standards of practice and may not adequately protect patients' confidentiality. Recommendation number two, we recommend the board take steps to ensure that the appropriate entities are notified when a licensee's prescription authority is suspended, revoked, or surrendered. The audit identified 8 advanced practice registered nurses that had their prescription authority revoked or surrendered between July 2014 through January of 2018. And in all cases, the board did not notify the Board of Pharmacy or the federal DEA about the licensing action. These entities were not notified because there were no statutes or regulations in place that required the notification. Failure to notify the DEA or the Board of Pharmacy increases the risk that controlled substances are abused or diverted. Recommendation number three on page 15, we recommend DCBPL's chief investigator ensure nurse investigations are adequately documented and performed timely. So we identified 273 cases that were open for more than 180 days during the audit period. So from that universe, we selected 28 to review, and we found 13 of the 28 had unjustified periods of inactivity that ranged from 61 days to 3.6 years. The delays were mainly caused by investigative staff reassigned or turnover in those positions and competing priorities. We also found 2 licensees that had been recommended for investigation by the long-term care ombudsman as potentially practicing outside their scope of practice. Auditors could not evaluate these cases due to a lack of documentation in the files. However, auditors did note that these cases were put in storage for a year and a half due to an office remodel and did not progress during that time. One of the 2 licensees continued to practice during the 4 years that the cases were outstanding, potentially posing a risk to public safety. Recommendation number 4 is on page 16. We recommend the board chair take steps to ensure the required CNA on-site training program reviews and self-evaluations are conducted prior to reapproving the programs. Now, regulations require CNA training programs be board approved every 2 years with an on-site review. Self-evaluations are required in the year that the on-site review is not conducted. We found the on-site reviews and the self-evaluation forms were not being done during the audit period. According to board staff, the on-site reviews were conducted by a contractor that was terminated in FY14 due to a conflict of interest. The procurement process to hire a new contractor was not successful. Eventually, the division was able to redesignate a PCN as a nurse consultant position. They hired someone, they got him trained, and the reviews began in the spring of 2016. The board continued to approve these training programs due to the need for the programs to continue to be available to train CNAs. Responses to this audit begin on page 27. Now, the department stated that the procedures had been implemented to notify the Board of Pharmacy and the federal DEA when the prescription authority has been revoked or surrendered. Additionally, they stated that they have instituted procedures to help improve the timeliness of the investigations. The board's response to the audit is on page 29. The board agrees with all four recommendations, stated they will take corrective action, and also stated that they were going to work on the telehealth regulations at their November 2018 meeting.
I have a couple questions. I don't know if anybody else has questions. Are you finished, Chris? Okay. Does anyone have any questions at this time? I just have a quick question. In regards to the fees, that's a pretty significant deficit of $337,000. Could you reiterate what your recommendations were for that?
Sure. We do not have a recommendation for the fees, either increasing or decreasing. You can see that they operated in a surplus for all the years except this year. So the way the statute reads, they have to set the fees to cover the cost of operations. So you're going to get years and where they're in a deficit, and then they're required to increase fees. And then they'll have times when they're in a surplus and they're required to decrease fees. So unless we see a pattern where they're failing to increase fees, when they routinely have deficits, we won't write a recommendation and we'll let their process just carry out.
One more question. When is the next audit to follow up on your recommendations?
It will depend how long the legislature extends the termination date. If they pass the bill to extend it 6 years, we'll come back in 6 years and conduct another sunset review.
Okay. Senator Casal.
Thank you, Madam Chair, and it's good to see you again. When you make a recommendation for the period of time before there's another sunset, do you take into consideration the board's response to the audit? Because based on the concerns, it seems that 6 years is quite a long time, but I'm looking at the letter in response to the audit, and it sounds like you've had positive response from the board regarding those concerns that the audit brings up.
Senator Costello, through the chair, we rely on the legislative oversight process and this process we're going through right now as far as the legislature holding the board and the division accountable for the recommendations and asking for their current status, because typically it's been 8 to 10 months since we've been in the agency and they've had the opportunity to take corrective action. So we do not have a standard, except for looking back when we come back in the next time to figure out how well they've done in implementing the prior recommendations. And we do note that we had four recommendations in the 2010 sunset, three of which are still outstanding.
Okay. With that, I want to say yes. I've also read the letter, and they were in agreement with all four, and they have agreed to take corrective action. So I personally was very impressed with their response, because this is not what I saw in some of the other alleged budget audit meetings that I have attended. So I was incredibly impressed with that. But with that, is there any other questions from the committee on this audit? Okay. With that, thank you very much. Okay. I'm going to allow Senator Giesel to come and respond if you would like to at this time, or I can open public testimony. Is there anything that you wanted to follow up and comment on after the auditor, or no?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Well, just one thing. You'll notice on the budget report that you questioned, Madam Chair, which I appreciate you doing. I actually was going to highlight that page. I think it was 14, if I'm not mistaken. In any case, the date on that is to March 31st of 18. In November of 18 is when most of these licenses renew. So there will be a big glut of money come in. I can tell you I'm renewing two licenses, or did, and money came in. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Okay, so with that, I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. So we are taking public testimony right now on SB 36, extending the Board of Nursing. Is there anybody in the audience at this time that would like to testify? Okay, seeing none of you in there, I'm going to go ahead and look online. I'm going to call on Joe LaFleur. And Joe, I'm not sure if you're here to testify or not, but I believe it says that you are interested in testifying. So please proceed.
No, I'm calling in. I'm the acting chair right now for the Alaska Board of Nursing, so I'm here to answer any questions that you may have.
Okay. Thank you. Is there any questions? No questions? Okay, then I'm going to thank you very much, Joe. I'm going to go ahead and go to Gail, and I anticipate hearing the same thing from the executive administrator, but it does say on my scroll here that you guys both wanted to testify, and that's why I'm calling in you. So, Gail, is there any input from you? Gail, are you there? Okay, I'm going to assume. Does anybody know if Gail wanted to testify?
Hi, I'm Gail Barron. I'm the Executive Administrator of the Board of Nursing. I'm here to answer any questions. I think I'll stop there and see if you have any questions.
I see no hands raised at this time, Gail, so thank you for being with us today.
Thank you for the opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Okay, and Sarah, I think you're here just to answer questions. Is that correct? Okay, thank you. Okay, with that, I believe that is it. So I'm going to go ahead and close public testimony. Bring the bill before us for discussion. Is there any discussion on this bill at this time from any committee members? Senator Giesel, do you have any closing comments?
Thank you, Madam Chair. Only that I personally will be urging the board to act on two of those items. Number one, the certified nurse aid programs do need monitoring. The federal government actually supplies $100,000 a year to fund a position that will examine those programs. It does involve travel around the state, so they need to fill that position. The second one is the telehealth issue for advanced practice nurses. So it is something that I'll be holding their feet to the fire, and I think the board has heard from the auditor that will be watched. Thank you.
Thank you. With that, would you like to remove your objection?
I remove my objection.
Thank you very much. So we're going to go ahead and look at the fiscal note right now. Do you want me to
cover it?
Yeah, go ahead.
Thank you. All right. The allocation is Department of Community Commerce and Economic Development, Appropriations, Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing. The allocation goes to Corporations, Businesses, and Professional Licensing. OMB component number is 2360. The fund source is Receipt Services, DGF, $28,400 a year. Sarah Chambers is with us at the table. She's the director. Hello again. And just a brief overview, SB 36 extends the Board of Nursing through June 30, 2025. The breakdown on the fund sources, travel is $26,900 for the seven board members and one examiner to attend four board meetings per year. $400 for advertising, got $1,000 for training and conference fees, and $100 for stipend for board members. And it is DGF funds, receipt supported services. 1156 is the account number.
Outstanding. Thank you. Sarah, would you like to add anything?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And members of the committee, I have nothing to add. I'm happy to answer any questions. And I think that Senator Bishop did a fantastic job explaining our fiscal note for us.
Thank you very much. I do not see any questions or comments, so I'm going to turn to my Vice Chairman.
I move Senate Bill number 36, version 31, LS0314, /alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you. With that, we're going to take a brief at ease to sign documents. ahead and come back to order. So next on our agenda today is SB 29, the extension of the Board of Marine Pilots. So this is a Senator Steadman bill, but I believe we have David Scott. So if you could please do the drill, that'd be great.
Hello, thank you, Madam Chair. For the record, my name is David Scott, staff to Senator Steadman. Yeah, I appreciate you scheduling the bill today, and unfortunately he's a little busy and he couldn't make it, but he does send his regards. And with that, I can start. Mm-hmm. Thank you. So the bill in front of you, SB 29.
Excuse me, we need to move the bill.
All right.
Vice Chair.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 29, version 31-LS0167/alpha before the committee.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I'll object for purposes of discussion.
Thank you. Please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. Again, for the record, David Scott, staff to Senator Steadman. SB 29 will extend the Board of Marine Pilots for 8 years, as recommended by the state auditor. The board has 7 members, 2 pilots, 2 agents of vessels, 2 public members, and the Commissioner of Commerce, or his or her designee. And for the record, for those, an agent of a vessel is someone who either works for the company that owns the vessel or directly for the vessel that is that tries to procure a marine pilot. They're trying to hire the marine pilot. That's what an agent of a vessel is. The board will, board adopts regulations, ensures pilots are regulated and they're competent and they're safe, makes final licensing decisions, also takes disciplinary actions against those who violate the licensing laws. There was a sunset audit. The state auditor found that the board is serving its public purpose and is doing its job in effectively licensing pilots and approving trainees and apprenticeships. There is 2 recommendations within the audit, and since the auditor is here, we'll let her address those. I should also notice the audit should be in your packets, and there's also a response from the chairman, who was the chairman at the time, for you guys to see. The board coordinator is available. Also, as I stated, the auditor is here, and again, this would it'd be an 8-year extension to 2027, is how the bill reads. And with that, I'm available for any questions.
See if there's any questions from the committee. Looks like you're a little easy right now. So with that, thank you very much. And I'll have Chris, the auditor, please come forth and discuss your recommendations.
For the record, this is Chris Curtis, State Legislative Auditor. We did conduct an audit of the Board of Marine Pilots dated April 2018. We did find that this board is serving the public's interest by effectively licensing marine pilots, deputy marine pilots, and by appropriately approving trainees and apprentices. Board meetings were conducted in compliance with law, investigations were processed timely, and the board actively changed regulations to improve the industry and better protect the public. We are recommending an 8-year extension. Licensing activity for this board you will find on page 12. As of January 2018, there are 103 licensees. The board's schedule of revenues and expenditures is on page 14. And this board had a surplus of just over $229,000 at the end of March 2018. Board fees are listed on page 13. We do have 2 recommendations for improvements. They begin on page 15. We recommend the Board of Marine Pilots ensure all applicable documents are aboard foreign pleasure crafts in accordance with regulatory requirements. Regulations require the operator of a pleasure craft applying for a pilotage exemption to ensure that the pleasure craft has aboard certain documents such as nautical charts, current title tables, and other guides. The auditors found that 5 of the 7 applications that we tested clearly indicated in the application that the vessel did not have those documents aboard. It has been standard procedure for the board to approve exemptions with the understanding that the applicant will follow through at a later date and obtain the required documents. The board did not consider the need for or importance of ensuring that those documents were actually obtained. Additionally, the exemption itself did not include a stipulation that the applicant obtain the required documents prior to entering the applicable area. issuing foreign pleasure craft exemptions without verifying required documents are aboard the vessel increases the risk to public safety. Recommendation number 2 on page 13, we recommend the board ensure that the Southeast Alaska Pilots Association improve procedures for tracking drug test notifications. In a sample of 9 drug test donors from the Pilots Association, the auditor found 3 donors notified by mail were not tracked as far as date and recipient. The association relied on a contractor, and they were not aware that that contractor was not tracking that information. Inadequate procedures for tracking drug test notifications limit the ability to verify timeliness and therefore increase the risk to public safety. This really should be an easy administrative fix. Responses to the audit begin on page 25. There is a response from the department and a response from the board. They're essentially the same response because the commissioner is also the board chair. And the department and the board agree with both recommendations. I'm open for questions.
Senator Casella.
Thank you. Is this an uncommon practice that the commissioner is a board chair?
Senator Costello, through the chair, we have seen it on occasion. It doesn't happen very often, but I have seen it on occasion.
Follow up, please. So you have the department responding and the board responding, and essentially it's the same individual. Do you want to just comment on that?
It's not uncommon for a entity that is within a department to have very similar responses, and it makes you wonder whether it was penned by the same person. Just usually, so it didn't raise any concerns from our perspective.
Thank you.
This may not be a question for you, but maybe unless there's any other questions, it doesn't look like it. These marine pilots, do they carry any type of oil or fuels or anything like that? Or are these just, commercial vehicles? What kind of vehicles are the...
I have no idea.
Okay. I guess the reason why I'm asking, and maybe the sponsor of the bill will be able, is because of the drug test, and we all know what happened with the Exxon Valdez, issue, and that's where I'm going with this, and that's why this is a huge red flag for me. Number 16, that's a huge issue for me, and so I'm really thankful that you guys found this issue, and anyway, I think it's a concern to address. Thank you very much. Appreciate it. With that, David, do you want to come back up?
Thank you, Madam Chair. And for the record, David Scott, staff to Senator Stedman. Madam Chair, I believe there's a representative here from the Southeast Alaska Pilots who's a pilot, and he could answer those questions directly.
Okay. Thank you. Then do you know his name? Can you raise your hand?
I apologize, Madam Chair. I don't.
Okay. Okay. And with that, thanks, David. We'll go ahead and bring him up, even though... And I'm sorry I didn't have time to meet with all you guys. I've been working 14-hour days, so I apologize. I know you all tried. But if you could put your name on the record and just who you're with, and
you bet.
Thank you.
Thank you, Madam Chair. My name is Barry Oliver. I'm captain with the was the captain of the Marine Highway here in the state of Alaska. I live here in Juneau, and I'm a Southeast Alaska pilot. And to address your question, most of the vessels that we are piloting here in Southeast Alaska are the cruise ships that you see. So that's most of our business. In regards to the question that was brought up in the audit in terms of the drug testing, we are all drug tested. That happened throughout the course of what was questioned. Apparently, our facility who does that drug testing, they had a computer crash. And they lost their records. So when they went to audit the records, to my understanding, they weren't able to see who had been drug tested. However, I could tell you personally, I've been drug tested. So there was no failure in the system as far as us being tested, but there apparently wasn't a record that could be seen in the audit, to my understanding.
Okay, because that's even more important. I mean, carrying, substances and stuff is one thing, but carrying people is even a bigger deal. So I'm really glad to know that you guys, are drug tested, and that it sounds like you did have a favorable response, that you were going to, work with a contractor. Is that my understanding?
Correct.
According to the letter in here.
Yes.
Okay. Excellent. Is there any other comments that you'd like to make?
No, but happy to answer any questions.
Senator Birch.
Thank you, Madam Chair. There's some commentary in here about the paperwork and charts and all, you know, the kind of the what you need to break, basically bring a vessel in safely. And thank you for that, by the way. One question I had, you know, as it relates to, you know, a lot of the commercial airlines now, they basically, instead of having a three-ring binder with lots and lots of stuff, they have a, like an iPad with everything. Are we at that stage yet with, you know, in other words, when you step onto the helm of a large cruise ship or something, what do you bring with you? Can you put it all in electronic format? I'm just kind of curious as to the state of the industry and the state of the profession. Through the chair.
Yes, sir. Thank you very much. We actually do carry what we refer to as a personal pilot unit, mm-hmm. In which we're plugged into GPS and do our own tracking of a vessel. Of course, we're trained to use all of the vessel's equipment as well, but this acts for us as a verification of that everything's working, yep. That everything's satisfactory. Of course, the act of piloting is visual,
yep.
And so we're looking out the window, and all of this electronics in the background verifies what we see. And so I like to put it in a light note. In coming on board some of the ships, I've had the captain literally say, "Welcome me aboard," and say, "Oh, it's good to see my chauffeur." So that's kind of what we are. We're the local knowledge. We're here to protect personal property, marine life, and the marine environment. So we're here for the state of Alaska. That's our job.
Great. Thank you. Okay. Thank you, ma'am.
Excellent. And I'm going to go ahead and ask you, just to indulge me just for a few minutes, there's three main groups, is my understanding of marine pilots. Do you mind just covering?
Correct.
Yeah. Can you just for edification of the committee?
Of course, because of the size of the state, there are actually three separate regions in Alaska. This is Region 1 in southeast Alaska. Region 2 is southwest to south central. Our region here in southwest goes from Ketchikan to Yakutat Bay. And then the Region 2 area, southwest pilots, actually starts at about Icy Bay and then goes out the Kenai Peninsula to Kodiak is kind of the edge of their region. And then Alaska Marine Pilots is Region 3, and they service the Aleutian Chain. And so there are those three regions. Personally, having worked on the Alaska Marine Highway, I've got piloted all the way out to Kodiak at a federal level. And so, but licensing here in the state only allows a state pilot to act in one region at a time. So I live here in Juneau, and I serve southeast Alaska.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. We really appreciate you being here today. So
absolutely. Thank you very much.
So with that, I am going to need to see what the will of the committee is, and if the will of the committee is to move this bill out of committee today, then I would like to see if Senator Bishop would like to remove his objection.
Madam Chair, I remove my objection.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. Senator Cassell?
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 29, version 31-LS0167, /alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you. With that, we'll take a brief at ease. To order. So with that, we're going to do our third and final order of business today. This is SB 25, the extension of the Board of Dental Examiners. And with that, I'm going to ask my vice chair if she has a motion.
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 25, version 31-LS0125/alpha before the committee.
Thank you.
I'll object for purposes of discussion. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. And with that, thank you for being up at the table. Welcome to Labor and Commerce. And with that, Senator Wilson, welcome, and please proceed.
Thank you, Madam Chair. For the records, this is Senator Wilson, Senator for District D. And thank you, committee and Chair, Madam Chair, for hearing Senate Bill 25. Senate Bill 25 extends the termination date for the board and dental examiners until June 30th of 27, which is an 8-year extension, which was recommended by their last audit. The board of examiners is composed of 9 members, 6 dentists, 2 dental hygienists, and 1 public member. The legislative audit conducted the review and recommended the termination of the date of the board till 2027. The legislative auditor, Chris Curtis, is here to answer any questions we have about the audit, because I think they found 2 minor little cavities which can easily be fixed. And the continuation of the board plays an important role in adopting the regulations to ensure the high standards of dental care offered throughout the state. I think there may be folks online to testify and support, and if they're not, there are 2 letters from Paul Silveira, who, forget his title here, who is the president of the Dental Board of Examiners, and I believe Dr. Logan's letter may be attached as well, which is the executive director of the Alaska Dental Society, Madam Chair. And with that, I'm available for any questions.
Seeing none, go ahead. You can either sit there or step away. Chris Curtis is going to be coming up next.
Just step away.
We believe in efficiency. That's why we're doing all 3 of these, and trying to keep this within an hour to be respectful of your time. So with that, please proceed.
Thank you. For the record, my name is Chris Curtis, your state legislative auditor. I believe you have a copy of the Board of Dental Examiners audit. It is dated April 2018. This audit did conclude that the board served the public's interest by effectively licensing and regulating dental hygienists and dental assistants. The board monitored licensees and made sure only qualified individuals practiced in Alaska. Furthermore, the board was active in amending regulations to improve the industry, and we are recommending the legislature extend this board 8 years. The audit contains some information on the standard licensing activity is on page 6. At the end of January 2018, there were 2,399 active licensees. The schedule of the board's revenue and expenditures is on page 7. It shows that they had a deficit of approximately $36,000 as of March 2018. A fee analysis was scheduled for 2018, and the schedule of fees is on page 8. As mentioned earlier, we do have 2 recommendations for improvements. On page 9, we recommend the board president take steps to correct a regulation error. In our review of the regulations, we found there was a 2016 change that resulted in 1 regulation referencing a regulation that had been repealed. Easy administrative fix. A recommendation number 2 is for DCBPL's chief investigator, in consultation with the board, to implement controls to ensure the appropriate entities are notified when a licensee's prescription authority is suspended, revoked, or surrendered. We did find that during the audit period, 2 licensed dentists had their prescription authority revoked or suspended. In both cases, the board did not notify the Board of Pharmacy or the Federal Drug Enforcement Administration, mainly because there was no procedures that required notification. Failure to notify may result in improper or unauthorized prescriptions. You'll see the department's response to the audit on page 19. The department states that they have implemented a policy now to make those notifications to the Board of Pharmacy and the DEA. The board's response is on page 21. The board agreed with both recommendations and agreed to take corrective action.
Any questions from the committee? It looks like they're good. I just wanted to say thank you for what you do. I think you do an incredible job and a very important job for the state, and I really just wanted to say personally, thank you very much.
Thank you.
Senator Wilson, you're back in the hot seat. Like to make any comments before I open public testimony?
No, ma'am.
No? Okay, with that, I'm going to go ahead and open public testimony. Is there anybody in the room that would like to testify?
Nope. Okay, and I can't see anybody online. They were all for the other bill. Courtney Johnson is with the Division of Ledge Audit, but I believe she's here for questions. Is that correct? Okay, that's correct. There's two on here? Oh, there it is. Oh, whoopsie. Okay, sorry about that. There is two online. Okay, so I've got Dr. David Nielsen. Would you like to testify?
Yes, can you hear me?
Yes.
Yeah, good afternoon, Madam Chair, the rest of the Labor and Commerce Committee. Yeah, my name's Dr. David Nielsen. I'm currently just got reappointed to the Dental Board of Examiners, and I just have a quick statement. The Dental Board serves a vital role in the regulation of dentistry while always keeping the health and welfare of Alaska citizens in mind. Licensing, permitting, certification and disciplinary action when appropriate is a cornerstone of what the public should expect from a state government if they're to have confidence in their health care providers. Personally, I have enjoyed the challenge to serve and appreciate the opportunity to continue fulfilling our purpose. I'm obviously in support of SB 25, and I thank Senator Wilson for sponsoring it, and I'm happy to answer any questions if anybody has any.
If you could take a question, please, from Senator Costello.
Thank you. Thank you for making yourself available. I was just curious about the need for more dentists in Alaska and how we're addressing that issue, if there is a need. And also, if you could just comment on the role of future role of telemedicine in your profession.
Well, one of the things that we are working on currently, and that is opening up, accepting more national licensing exams, which would pretty much increase a large pool of applicants that would be allowed to apply to the state, a much easier pathway. We're also looking at using some military training in lieu of certain things that are tested for. We obviously do credentialing already. And so we feel like, the number of, it's kind of a nationwide thing, but the number of dentists is probably okay. The distribution is always kind of the issue. And the Dental Board doesn't really have much say in that. I'm not sure about, we don't really have teledentistry in Alaska, although the tribal system already uses it with their dental health aid therapists. And also, to some degree, I believe we use it in our collaborative agreements that we have with hygienists. So it's kind of, there's mechanisms in place that some forms of teledentistry can be already done.
Thank you. And with that, we're going to go ahead and have another question, please. And this one is from Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam Chair. I would just like to know for the record what steps the board is taking to address the findings and the recommendations in the audit. Thank you, Madam Chair.
Well, if I recall correctly, the one thing was in regards to part of a regulation that was repealed, and I believe that we already have addressed that. If it's the thing I'm thinking of, it had to do with a radiologic inspection regulation, and we're totally on board with getting that fixed. I noticed it quite a while ago. And then the second thing, as far as reporting the prescription, I think our licensing examiner would probably be better to speak to that. I don't know if she's there. We have gone through three licensing examiners in just the time that I've been there. And so that has been somewhat of an issue for continuity and reporting and things like that. But we're totally on board with both recommendations.
Excellent. And David Nielsen, thank you. We do have Sarah Chambers here, so Sarah's going to come up and answer question number two for Senator Gray Jackson.
Thank you, Madam.
Yeah, that would probably be good.
Thank you, Madam Chair, members of the committee. Through the chair, Senator Gray Jackson, this finding is a kind of a sister finding to the Board of Nursing one that was heard earlier. So when these were brought to our attention, our chief investigator initiated procedures to better coordinate with our various prescriber boards and our Board of Pharmacy and the DEA to make sure that that communication was happening on a two-way basis and not just waiting for the DEA to perform the check.
Thank you.
Senator Excel.
Thank you, and I know the bill sponsor is finding all these questions very interesting. I just wanted to, Sarah, since you were here, ask about the military training in lieu of, you know, just recognizing that, because I remember we have passed legislation that asks the state to consider reciprocity with military experience or other states, and could you just use this opportunity to let us know how it is, if the legislature needs to do additional steps or how that's working in relation to this board?
Absolutely. Through the chair, Senator Costello, the legislature did pass several years ago a few bills to address some of the employment concerns of military and military dependents. And this board and has recently been, as Dr. Nielsen is speaking, has recently been given an opportunity to utilize this comparison of military experience to dental, more traditional dental education experience. We don't get a lot of military applicants, and so it's few and far between. So when there's an opportunity to sort of fill a gap, not to make a bad cavity pun, but to fill a gap with, although I love a good pun, with some military experience that maybe wasn't achieved through a traditional educational means, then that's a win for everyone. The public's protected by ensuring that someone has performed these before and can do so capably. And then the applicant who has that experience is able to get to work. So that law has been in place. Many of our boards don't have an opportunity to utilize that because we don't have a lot of military applicants. But it's always exciting when we're able to help them piece that patchwork together to get to the same outcome.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. Is there any other questions? Okay, thank you. We have another person that may want to testify, Dr. David Logan with the Alaska Dental Society. It says, Juno, are you in the room or are you online? Looks like you're online. Dr. David Logan, could you please proceed?
Sure, thank you. I'm Dave Logan. I'm the executive director for the Alaska Dental Society. I think Dr. Nielsen covered the reasons for the board pretty well. It's, you know, it's relatively self-evident why we need a dental board. So I won't belabor that point. I'll just take questions if anyone has any questions.
It looks like all the questions have been answered. So thank you for being here today. With that, as there's nobody else in the room and no one else online that I can see, so I'm going to go ahead and close out public testimony. And now we bring the bill before the committee, and I need to know the will of the body.
Madam Chair. Would it be possible to review the fiscal note?
Oh, excuse me. Thank you very much. Yes, thank you for bringing that to our attention. And we're going to have our member from Finance, Senator Bishop.
The department is the Department of Commerce, Community, and Economic Development. The appropriation goes to the Corporation Businesses and Professional Licensing Division. Allocation as well goes to Corporation Businesses and Professional Licensing. The OMB component number is 2360. And it is a little different in and of the fact that it's $35,000 and just a smidgen of change. It is 1156 receipt supported services. It is prepared by Sarah Chambers, who's done a marvelous job on all three of these fiscal notes. It extends the Board of Dental Examiners to June 30, 2027. And the increase, I'm assuming here, is laid out rather plain as day. It's the travel, and because we have nine board members on this board versus seven on the previous fiscal note board, so we got seven, we got nine board members, one examiner to attend four meetings a year. We keep the same $400 for the advertisement, $100 for training and conference fees, $1,000, excuse me, and $100 for stipends for board members. Also, lastly, I'd like to just to say that the licensing fees for each of these occupations are set per AS 08-01-065, so the total amount of revenues collected approximately equals the occupation's actual regulatory cost.
Excellent. Thank you very much, Senator Bishop. Sarah, is there anything you'd like to add?
No, ma'am. Thank you.
Thank you. Any questions at this time? Okay.
I'd remove my objection, ma'am.
Thank you, Senator Bishop. And with that,
Madam Chair, I move Senate Bill number 25, version 31-LS0125/alpha from committee with individual recommendations and accompanying fiscal note.
Thank you. And we're going to take a very, very brief Eddie's to sign reports, and then I'm going to make closing comments. So if everyone could just hold on for a second. Okay, so just a brief comment from a meeting earlier this week. We did forward some names for a joint session, and although it's not required by law to say that signing this report doesn't mean that we're going to support or not support them on the floor, it is a good policy to follow. So I know it was stated on the floor when it was read across in the report, but I did want to say that is the case, that it doesn't show support or against on the floor just because we removed the members' names forward to a session to vote on. I did want to go ahead now and talk about our plans for next week. We're going to have a meeting on Tuesday, February 12th at 1:30 in this room, where we intend to consider the governor's appointees to specific boards and commissions, which will be posted tomorrow afternoon. And then next Thursday, next week, we are going to be having a presentation on the Center for Economic Development before the committee, highlighting that Alaska is the number one in the nation for the percentage of women-owned employer firms, and we'll provide some information on emerging sectors. In addition, by Monday, this coming Monday, by 5 o'clock p.m. on Senate Bill 16, which is the Save the Fair bill from Senator McChickie, we would like to have any amendments brought forth to us by Monday at 5 o'clock if you have any amendments on that bill. Okay? And so with that, we just really wanted to say thank you very much for being here today, and we will close. Oh, excuse me, Senator Bishop.
If I could have just a moment.
Absolutely.
I'd like to just put on the record, we have a couple outstanding people, and one of them is Chris Curtis, that does a marvelous job with these reports. I don't know how you and your staff do it. It's got to be awful boring work, but you do a very marvelous job of encapsulating a document when you read it through at the table, and it's succinct and it's to the point, and I appreciate it. And Sarah, I'm glad to see that you're still here with us, and I think you do a marvelous job over there. Thank you.
Outstanding. Thank you very much. Appreciate that. Okay, so with that, we're going to go ahead and gavel out at 2:35.